brought them. Because, you know, every single time I would forget them. For, like, when we were showing other sheets. So I figured I might as well finally remember
to bring them.
I'm going to start off with a story.
You should do a separate recording.
I'll tell you a story. It was a very, very interesting tefillah story. Actually, just happened on let's say Shabbos or Sunday morning, I should say, really. So I get on a airplane, Delta flight, whatever it is, to fly back onto Shabbos here to Eretz Yisrael. And what was that?
Play
story. I always have stories. And what was that?
Did you get a little Delta?
I don't get this. No, I don't take those or get those, whatever it is. It's it's bad news when you know the people work at the airport. You know, like this, all the stewards on all the planes and stuff. It's like, okay, it's whatever it is. You know, first name basis. But so I'm sitting in my seat. I usually get on the plane like one of the first like couple of people, like, or you know, early on, or whatever it is. And I was, you know, sitting and learning, and then some like a Chiloni lady who moved to America about like 37 years ago sits down. I don't know if this is the time, but sat down next to me, and after just whatever, you know, a little conversation at the beginning, you know, whatever it was. Okay, fine. So, you know, she does her thing. Which happened to have been like annoying because she was like on the slightly larger side, and she also had like a big coat that was like eating into my thing the whole time. I was trying to like whatever, okay. But then, let's leave that out. So they serve dinner on the plane, and they give you a choice. You can have like the pasta, the chicken, or the kosher. Okay, and she asked for the chicken. And I'm saying this, oh, that's so sad. Like, it really bothers me when, like, you know, when Jewish people, especially when Israelis, you know, eat trade food, just like sad. Like, they're offering you kosher food. I want to just, like, you know, just take it. But okay, so people don't think in those terms because they're not really sensitive to that or whatever. Although, okay, so that was the beginning part of the plane. They're just like a little frustrated and annoyed by lack of room and the tarfus I was going to have. And it hurt. So in the middle of the night, you know, you have to daven when the sun comes up. And just reminding all of us, yeah, when the sun rises, you have to daven in the morning. And so on the tefillah, she, right, that's what we're doing now. So the just as a little safety tip also, when you're making that flight, you know, the best way to make sure that you're actually davening within the proper zmani tefillah, which are nikba based on like where you are in the world. In other words, you fly into the nates, like, so you have to daven based on Shuvan or Moshe, other posts, and everyone pretty much agreed that was the, you know, the case. You have to daven based on where, you know, so a lot of people make mistakes. You'll see people go to sleep on the airplane and they daven when they wake up, which is like an hour before you land, which is 6 hours after like this amount of mincha already, and you can't do things like that. And once that, I was like putting my phone in the back of the airplane somewhere. Some guy comes over and he says, you know, is it this man tefillah? Can you daven yet? And I sort of like, I don't want to talk. I mean, it was my phone already on, but whatever it was. And as I just pointed out the window, it's like broad daylight. You know, like, I just kidding. Like, okay, whatever it is. So, yeah, but it's like this man. I'm like, well, like, then I said it, like, yes. Like, you see, it's like light outside. It goes going down. He said, no, but is this the man in Borough Park yet? And then it's like, come on, like, you don't care. Like, I don't care if this man in Borough Park. So like right now, like, wake up. Just like, forget moving. Okay, whatever. So this time, so if you want to make sure you dive in properly, just a little safety tip. The myzana.com will send you, if you type in your flight information, they'll send you like a chart of where all those mana work out for each in a different flight. So you plug in, you know, whatever, you may set an alarm on your phone, earphones in your head, so that that, you know, you wake up whenever the nate is, that way you don't have to, you're guaranteed, you know, you wake up in time. Just as my own like a late, so just like make an alarm, put your earphones, you don't have to bother people, your alarm shouldn't like wake up the whole plane. But whatever. So you wake up and you go wash until you say daim. And another safety tip, like we always do in Yeshiva, always take a kli with you when you're flying the plane, because they don't have washing cups on the airplane, so you should take one with you, a little, some, you know, some kind of a kli, that's at least a revias.
So wash on that bed.
And what was that?
Wash on that bed.
This is a plastic cup, all right?
No. So that's what you should take a washing cup with you. And when you sit down doing davening, fine. So you know the davening is always rough on an airplane. A lot of people do get annoyed, especially when they're minyanim, it is bothersome to people, and people really are oftentimes not overly sensitive to others. Once you be careful, you know, to be sensitive, you put your towels on, you can't like whack people and like we're sleeping in the face with your tittis. You shouldn't daven at light, like, oh, you know, like a light. You have to, you know, cannot like too much light onto his ears. It's very not always so easy to, you know, to daven properly on an airplane. But whatever it is, okay. And oftentimes when they're not religious Israelis that are in proximity, they tend to get a little bit more sensitive and a little bit more annoyed at certain things than others might. And so that was, you know, okay, so, you know, Dab and Shachris, like the normal thing, you know, Shnei Mikra afterwards, and whatever you do, like there. And, you know, eventually the tefillin come off, and you sit back down, go to sleep, and whatever. So, okay, so sometime later, on the plane, I'm still on the plane, same airplane, and so I don't remember what happened. Like, I must have said something to the person, like, next. I don't remember exactly how the conversation started. And then the lady, it was, like, much fascinating. The lady says to me, I was like, I have to tell you, I think it was like half Hebrew, half English. I forgot what language you're speaking in already. But so I'm sad telling you story in English. I think it might have even happened in English. I don't still remember 100%. So I have to tell you, he said, I haven't seen anything like that ever in my entire. I'm telling this. The story has nothing to do with me. I just want to make it clear. It's just like it comes out like this. The story was really about her. It was a beautiful thing. And you'll hear what I said in a second. I haven't seen anything like that, like in my entire life. When I was watching, like I woke up all of a sudden in the middle, and I watched you, like with like you were being mitpalel, and like you had the talit and those things. Ekorim the hand, like again, like those things, like the whatever it was, like you know, tefillin, okay, what tefillin, yeah, that and whatever it was, and like you saw, this is like fascinating because you saw when you're being mitpalel the rikuz, the concentration, but this and that, but you saw. And she was trying to say, which she didn't know how to say, she was trying to say, like, you saw the Shekhinah in front of when you were davening. So she like fumbled over and he goes, you saw, like, Elohim, you saw, like, God standing right in front of you, like, when you were davening. It was, like, unbelievable, like, this, like, Chabeya, Ruchanit, like, spiritual experience, blah, 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 whatever it was. So, and she was, like, very, like overcome by watching it feel. So the first thing that caught my attention was like, we're all supposed to walk around when we daven, like we were learning like months ago, thinking when we're davening, we're Omeid Lifnei HaMelech, you're standing talking to Ribono Shel Olam. So here's this like overly large Chiloni lady next to me who was like telling me, like I was watching you daven and you were standing Lifnei HaMelech. Like that I saw, now like, I don't know how she saw that exactly. I don't think there's anything floating in front of my face when I'm davening. But that was like a very important like eye opener, like that you know, that someone actually was able to koach of a Jew is an unbelievable thing. Someone could actually pick up and feel what a tefillah is all about, and have that experience of like someone thought that they saw a shechina kenegdom was I was very very impressed that the way, you know, the person had seen and pictured what a tefillah was. And as we started talking this and whatever, so then when breakfast came along, this is a great, but I couldn't like pipe that on the back because for obvious reasons that's a rayos, but when they came on their things, they had a choice again. You had like chicken, because it's never clear like what it is, like with that second meal. So is it lunch, is it breakfast, is it like what planet you're on? So they offered like chicken and omelets and kosher. Again, the same thing. That and kosher. Kosher doesn't matter what it is. It's just kosher. Right? It doesn't matter like what they're serving you. So then the lady, very nice, she goes, Achshavani kasher. Like, now I'm going to eat the kosher. Because that was very nice. I really wanted to clap and to repent and to be great, Givaldic. You know, that's what it should be. But the tefillah of my Baruch Hashem brought something to do, at least a tshuva until she got off the airport. I don't have any after that. But who knows what. But hopefully good things also. But, you know, we should appreciate what a tefillah actually is. It was really very... very, very touched that someone actually noticed what an authentic tefillah was meant to be. Even a tefillah wasn't in the greatest, you know, optimum circumstances, but maybe you're closer to God or up in an airplane, who knows, you know, flying up over the sky, but I like whatever it was, different experience. Something that's kedai for us to think about, and we should all be sensitive to the fact that we talk a really assured Chazal say, we're standing Omei Lefnei HaMelech. So if someone else can see it, Mistama, we should be able to feel that a little bit also. On that note, we're going to pass that the next sheet. What was that?
People washing
cup
in
your carrier? Wherever I go, yeah. Oh, it's like...
The one that, like, folds
down. And when
the
trunk of my car rolls.
Like a big washing cup?
Or the one that folds off.
Like
the
tiny
one?
Like a cheap washing cup? Spin it around. It doesn't take up that much space.
You just have like a small washing cup. What?
It's being on that Nervius?
Yeah, by the way, it's more than Nervius, yeah.
Kobe, that's not Nervius?
You had that until
you became washing plastic. It's not a cleat. Plastic is not a cleat. Yeah. She was trying to speak English, I think. Real things that you don't throw out, like real cap, plastic. If it's a real cup, then it can be.
Like the washing cup outside, just like smaller.
And this one doesn't have handles, but yeah.
Did she know you?
What was that? Yeah, we spoke at the time in Hebrew. Right? It was, yeah. She was like proud of herself, like she like moved to America 30 years ago. She was like to like speak, you know, Like, she was offended when I said, like, you can tell in your accent you're Israeli, you don't really speak English, lady. And she was like, well, you can tell in your accent you don't really speak Hebrew, you know, like, ah, I got it. Baruch Hashem, gotta be, yeah, gotta be friendly with everybody. Now, the, yeah. Okay, so let us roll. So as we remember from last month, we are starting off now and learning a little bit about the different, you know, the Seder itself. You know, starting off from the beginning and working our way through, which we're going to do, you know, do a little bit over here. We'll get to Be'ezer Hashem, get to Chovas HaTamidim also, but we're going to run through some quick basic things. and this is as a word of warning. There's a lot of different minhagim that people have in terms of the things that they say in the Siddur at the beginning of the day. Okay, we could, in theory, start from Moda'ani and talk about that and every last little thing, Adon Olam and Yigdal and the different things. Matov, when you say when you walk into the shul, everyone has different practices, different things that they do. We're going to focus, I think, more on the standards that are like must, that are, you know, like basic halachas, chiyuvim, that you have to keep, just to try to streamline the, you know, the things. It's certainly, it's, you know, it's worth your while to what do you call it? Worth your while to what am I talking about? Yeah, it's worth your while, right? Worth your while to, you know, read up somewhere along the line about some of the other inyanim that you know, they're there about those other parts of davening. But we're, like I said, we're going to focus on the mainstreams over here. We're going to begin. Yep, everyone has them. Got sheets? We're good. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start off with Netilas Yadayim. That segment, Netilas Yadayim, Asher Yotzar, Elokei Neshama. I move into Birkas HaShachar right after that. And we're going to go through a little bit of some of the background, what we're doing, and a little bit about the, you know, the brachas themselves, and really like just like pasha things, but that are must-knows. Like, these are things that you have to know about what's going on with yourself in the morning. So the Beis Yosef in Siman Dalet brings a machlokas. It's in the Rush and the Rashba about the concept of Netilas Yadayim, what we call Negel Vasser, what we're washing for in the morning. I'm going to explain the term Negel Vasser as we go along, but not right now. So it's in Yiddish we call it Negel Vasser. In halacha terms, we just call it Netilas Yadayim Shel Shachris. Netilas Yadayim, when you wake up in the morning. So the Rush that the Beis Yosef quotes over here says that he brings out the Gemara Brachas of Samak, which lists off all the Birkas HaShachar. I should say all, but most of the Birkas HaShachar are found there. So the Gemara points out, you wake up, you wash your hands, you make a bracha out of Netilas Yadayim. So the Rush writes, and they are in the ninth parak in Brachas, Kasav HaRush, Kasav HaRush is there, L'fisha Yadayim Shal Adam Askana Yosei. People's hands move around, they're active, okay? Meaning to say people don't always have like total control, aren't totally aware of what their hands are doing at any given time. And truth be told, if you like keep a somewhat of an awareness of yourself kind of a state, you'll notice that like you often are just totally unaware of what your hands are doing at any given time. If you had to stop a person like right now and say, what are your hands doing? Like, you'd have to like actually think about it. Like where am I? What, like, what, you know, where am I sticking it? Where am I this, that, boom, whatever it is. You have to, you know, your diamond shoulders, they're always moving, they're always doing stuff. E.F. Shashol Liga Babasar Hametunach Balayla. And it's probably impossible that your hands didn't touch some dirty part of your skin or your body during the nighttime. Meaning rendering it like not so appropriate to daven if your hands might be sticky, sweaty, gross, or whatever it is. So tiknu bracha kodem shiyikar kriyashma v'yispal. The instituted, you should wash and then make a bracha on a tigas yadayim, because you're chayiv to be washing your hands before you daven. So the Rush has a very, what we're going to call, pragmatic understanding of Netilas Yadayim. A person wakes up and he's basically not really in a, I have to assume he's not in a state where he's able to, you know, to just daven. The rest of the day, when you make a bracha, when you learn, you what do you call it, you know, because you're awake, so you have like a little bit more of an awareness. But Anachanami, had you known that you went to the bathroom, that you touched, you know, your feet, your legs, or whatever it was, you would have to wash your hands before you made the bracha, before you daven. And at nighttime, the Rosh says it's like sort of almost like a guarantee that something like that happens, so you wash your hands. Now, there's going to be a discussion we're going to have in a second. We're going to try not to focus so much on the halachas per se now, but just because this part is a little bit nogeya, based on the reasoning of the Rush, you don't necessarily really have to be washing with a kli out of a cup and washing You don't like that. You have to wash your hands to make sure your hands are going to be clean. Similar to like if a person did whatever it was that made his hands dirty during the day. So before he makes a bracha, he has to wash his hands off. You make Avdallah and on Matzah Shabbos, his hands are all sticky from the grape juice. So you have to wash them before you make an alagefi. You don't have to wash with a kli per se. And the same thing would have been true according to the Rush. I didn't quote all the basiosis here, but some of the other Rishonim say that since you have to wash your hands and most of the time when you're chayiv and netilas yadayim, you wash with a kli, like when you eat, you know, bread, etc. So you should do that in the morning also. But there's not necessarily a real reason why you should have to wash with a kli, according to the reasoning of the Rush. I'm going to skip the next Mayor Malcolm for a second and look at the Beis Yosef on that simon. The Beis Yosef, again, a continuation of the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef says in this discussion about washing with a kli or not, he brings down, we're going to look at the bold part, about B'tshuvas HaRashba Kasev. In the Tshuvos of the Rashba, it was written in the following. And the Tshuvas HaRashba is a very, very significant sefer. The Rashba, as you know, Shlomo ben Aderos, is not just one of the major Rishonim on Shas, but the Rashba was an incredible, incredible posek of his time. He lived in Barcelona, the same, he was the Rebbe of Barcelona after the Ramban, you know, went on the run. And Rashba's house still stands, I was in the Rashba's house once, and I'm still standing today in the Jewish quarter of Barcelona. And
what
was that?
Someone lives there.
Now someone lives there. Yeah, the what are we talking about? So the Rashba also was a very, very world class posek, and the tshuvas of the Rashba have thousands upon thousands of tshuvas. He wrote like left and people think like today, like you see like the Yos Moshe, the Minchas Yitzhak, some of these like big svarim are the Rashba like with thousands of tshuvas that the Rashba wrote. So why am I telling you that? In the world of learning, there was certainly in Europe, and it felt people really just lost like some of these. You know, Madrigos, but what used to be like a major compliment. You say about somebody, he knows the Tshuvas HaRashba backwards and forwards, like that like really was a demonstration of a person like really, really being holding, you know, incredibly in learning. Like I said, there are thousands of Tshuvas in the Tshuvas HaRashba, and to really know them well is taka something that's very, very big. So the Tshuvas HaRashba, Kasev, he was asked, Shenishal, Lama Tiknu Bracha Natilas Yadayim B'Shachris. What are we doing? What is this? Okay? Veheshiv, and the Rashbi responded, Ivri, it's true, the kach nogu b'chomakon levarik b'shachras anatilas yadayim. We know that, everyone in Klal Yisrael, so we have this pay that we're careful, we wash, we make a bracha, makbidim b'chol tanoi natilo ki b'shas asuda, where we follow all the halachos of washing just like we do at a meal. And the Beis Yosef, the Rashbi, this is still part of the tshuva, points out that it sounds like you have to wash with a kli also. Ve'im tishal, and if you're going to ask me, ma'ishna tfilas ha-shachar, so why when we wake up for in the morning to daven shachris we have to wash with a kli and mincha and meiriv we don't find such a halacha? Well, why is there that difference? So Yeshlam and the Rashba is a very, very beautiful idea. Like I said, we wanted to get us into the mode of appreciating what we're doing when we make this bracha. So Yeshlam and the fisha b'shachar anu nasim kibriya chadasha. In the morning, when a person wakes up, he should view himself as a Bria Chadasha, the brand new, fresh creation. The Chsiv, like it says in the Pasuk, Eicha Chadashim Labakarim. We're new in the mornings. Rabba Emunasecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu's faith and trust in us, and constantly creating us, giving us another chance, is immense. Now, because of that, Tzricham Anu the Hodos Lo Yizbaruch, Al Shibur Anu Lichvodo Lishar, So the Varech Bishmo. Person has to thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that He created me to give honor to His name, He created me to serve Him. It's an incredible privilege, an incredible schus that the Ribbono Shel Olam put us here today in this world. V'al Dover Zeh Tiknu B'Shachar Kol Osam HaBrachos Anu Mevarechim B'chol Boker Boker. And the truth be told, all the different brachas that we make in the morning, being able to walk, stand up, sit up, get dressed, blah, blah, blah. We're going to talk about the rest of the Birkas Shachar later. They're all following that same idea. It's an amazing thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, a Bria Chadasha. And we have to appreciate that. The Figach on the Tzrichim, the Hiskadesh B'Kedushah. So a person has to try to sanctify himself with the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or elevate himself a little bit. V'litol Yadeinu Min HaKli. We wash our hands from the Kli. K'koin Shemekadesh Yadav Min HaKiyar. Kodem Avodasa. Just like the Kohen, when he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, has to sanctify his hands, he washes from the Kiyor, from the sink in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kiyor was a Kli in the Mikdash. So a Jew has to do the same thing. We're waking up. It's a brand new opportunity. Today is a day of Avodas Hashem. Today is a day that I have a lot of opportunities. Today is a day that I can do many, many special and big things. And we're walking into our Beis Mikdash of life of Avodas Hashem. The person washes his hands in the morning to signify that. Of course, according to the Rashba, a person has to wash with a kli, because they're just the same way the kiyor was a kli. We have to mimic that, that idea when we're washing in the morning. So according to the Rashba, the whole idea of the Netilas Yadayim, and this is what we're thinking, not just when we actually do the washing, but we make the bracha in the morning, is that the person, because he explains this as part of the, have to thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu and appreciate the fact that we view ourselves as brand new creatures who have a focus, who understand what their focus is supposed to be and what their purpose is here during the day. So that's the basics of the bracha of the Netilas Yadayim. Again, according to the Rush, it's something just much more mundane, but the Beis Yosef the Yeshuvas HaRashba has a bit of a twist that's it. The Mishnah Berurah points out, again, we said we're not getting into halachas, but he says technically, just as he explains, there are nafkaminas between the two ideas. If you were the Rush and you slept in a pair of gloves, the Mishnah Berurah points out, where it wasn't really shaykh to touch anything that was dirty, or I don't know, winter, cold, a camping trip, whatever it would be, so then you wouldn't really have to wash your hands in the morning. According to the Rush, but the mere fact that you're waking up and having a brand new day, so that would be mechayiv a netilas yadayim. Now, what was that? Yeah, sweat by itself is not such a big deal. That was true. I'd be washing all day long. I'm just like sweat like a beast. You know, sweat by itself doesn't really pass. I have better not. Whatever. It doesn't pass anybody.
What would we do if you slept in the gloves? Would you say a bracha?
Yeah. We lamais. Yeah, that seems like the Mishnah Berurah says that we lamais. We seem to hold like that. Now, both of those things. Just when we're on the topic of Negelbas, I think it's important just to take like a minute or two to explain basic Jewish things that we all do. And it could be that we learned this from the time we're kids. It could be not. I'm not really sure. So just in case, let's take a minute to get some of the background behind the washing, also that we're doing in the morning. Now, truth be told, okay, we're trying to tell the truth, that whether or not you were the Rush or the Rashba that we just learned, you wouldn't really have to wash your hands three times b'seirugin, washing hands back and forth, boom, 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 boom. You have to wash your hands. Okay, the Kohen poured water on his hands. That's it. On his hands and feet, in the Beis Hamikdash, according to the Rush, get your hands clean. The whole like ceremony that we do wouldn't really be necessary, according to either of the ideas that are presented by the Rishonim. But Beis Yosef does quote a Zohar HaKadosh. So now we're going to read a little bit inside, just to get us a little nervous. I put it in the funky print over here. Sounds like scary, whatever. It's a Beis Yosef. It's printed in a regular Beis Yosef. Just have to learn the two Beis Yosef to see it. V'chein kasev v'sefer Zohar parashas v'yeshev. A pasuk v'yomer ha'ish nas umizet. Okay, ayin shom, whatever the idea was. V'od k'suvim shom v'netilas yadayim shachras chidushim she'enam nimsan b'poskim. If you look in the Zohar HaKadosh, you'll find chidushim about netilas yadayim that are not found in the regular mainstream poskim. The Rush, the Rashba, those, you find very interesting things that are kedai to know. And what we're about to read has a major impact on our netilas yadayim, the Negelbas that we do in the mornings. V'zeh l'shanu, and this is the citation from the Zohar. Rabbi Shimon Pasach. Rabbi Shimon opened up a teaching. Rabbi Shimon, of course, is Shimon Bar Yochai, the Rashbi, the author of the Zohar. And many of the Zohars begin with that expression. Rabbi Shimon Pasach, he taught us a pasuk. He said over the pasuk, Erchos benikyon kapai, I'm going to wash my hands to be clean. Tachazi, come along and see. You know, there's always, as the different Mefarshim point out, as I'm sure you're aware, when you learn in Shas, when you learn Gemaras, and they want to make a point, there's an expression, Toshma, right, come in here. When you learn in the Sefer Zohar HaKadosh, so the expression is always Tachazi, come in, see. And they explain that there's a very basic difference. The Zohar HaKadosh was written with a clear Ruach HaKodesh. There's a certain a nevuah that's there in the Sefer Zohar. So there's certain things that you see as opposed to just the intellectual hearing and learning that goes on. So it says, come and take a look. I'll explain to you the Raz of the Milsa, like as follows. Les Barnash Ba'amadulotom Taim Demavisabalelia. There's not a person in the world who doesn't taste the taste of death at night. Verucha Mesava Sharia Alohu Gufa. And there's a Ruach Mesava, an impure Tom Mesava, and if you remember from just reading Shnai Mikra, Mesava means. Huh? I mean, to me it means Temeya. Maybe it means there's a Tomei Bead evil ruach that's on a person's hand, that's on a person during the night. My time, why? Begin the Rishmasi Kadisha Stalakas Mine de Barnash. The holy neshama leaves the person at night, Venafkas Mine, and exits his body. V'yad neshmasa kadisha nafkes v'istalakas minei, and because his neshama left him, shari yiruach mesava luhu gufa. Okay, so there's a ruach mesava, a ruach atuma that descends on that body. Now again, obviously you know, when a person's neshama leaves like for good and has like a one-way ticket, okay, so on those examples, then there's like a real major tumas mace and all of that entails. Here, where the neshama has a two-way ticket, right, round trip, so there's a ruach mesava, but it's not the same as when a person passes away. When the neshama comes back to the body, it's avares ohu zuhama, the zuhama, the tainting, is supposed to leave. Okay, and he's going to explain how it leaves in a second. But we know it says the yadui de barnash zuah de mesavu ishtara bohu. We know that on the person's hands, that zuhama, that tuma, remains. Okay, in other words, your legs, your chest, other parts of your body, the tumma, but the one part of the body that the tumma doesn't leave, again, why this is true is not for right now, is the yadayim of the person. V'aldon, about that, lo yavar banash yadubi al-one, al-inui. And therefore, a person has to be careful not to rub his hands on his eyes. Again, we should be aware and be careful at all these things. Beginu hurucha misava, because of that ruach atuma, ad denati alone, until he actually washes his hands. Again, as in case you're not aware, that is common and normal practice. You don't touch your eyes, you don't touch your nose, you don't put your hands in any of your cavities, any place that has like a line into the inside part of the goof, until the person washes the netilas yadayim. It's considered a very, very bad thing to for a person to do. For kadnotil lahon,
they're saying that a person should put on glasses before
washing. I don't know about you. When I put on my glasses, I don't stick my hands into my eyes. If you contact, you certainly shouldn't do it, right. But if you can put on your glasses, like a normal, like you know what I'm saying? Is that, who's his roommate? Like, what do you do in the morning? Like stick your finger?
I can see a little bit of that.
What was that? No, put it on. It's like, go like, you know, shh. And it works.
Can you touch other parts of your body that aren't...
The parts that aren't open, like...
You don't scratch your face.
And you don't make a scratch, whatever. You should try what?
You don't need to wash that where you scratch in your face.
Yeah, you don't what? You throw the water over your face. Yeah, you don't do that.
But this also...
Water fight. Okay, now...
But this also...
The...
You said that it had to do with, like, it was 1/60th of the... Your 1/60th dead, and then at the end of the body is, like, there's, like, a 1/60th left, and that's, like, at the end of the body, that's where the rock leaves.
Great, okay. Go out there. Now, the... Yeah.
If you have a cut, does that also apply
your mouth? Yeah, not a good idea. Okay, let's go a little bit over here. Kedin, when a person washes them properly, who is kaddish, the person is sanctified a little bit. V'ikri kadosh, and he be called a kadosh. V'eich boy this kadosha, how would a person be mekadesh himself? So boy chad kli l'sata v'chad kli l'eil. A person has to have one kli on the bottom, one kli on top. We're going to call it right now a sink and a washing cup. The iskadesh mehide le'elo, you sanctify / wash from the upper one. V'hude le'sata, the yaseh bezua, the mesabu be, and the thing on the bottom that has the tumba that was on your hands, that just got washed off and that was in the sink, do kli le'kabala mesabu, that becomes like a tummy, a bad thing. V'do le'iskadesh, I mean, and the other thing is the one that you... the other thing that your mekadesh yourself from, da baruch v'da'ara, one's blessed, one's cursed, and the water that you wash with, the tamei water, should not remain inside of your house. Lalikruvuhu barnash, no one should come near that. And again, the fact that we have a drain in the sink makes this a little bit easier for us to do. It just drains out on the bottom. Da habuhu miskanshe sita dilahom, because in that water is a gathering of their side. Their side means like the bad guys end up over there. Bad spirits, the bad stuff. You can get damaged. You can get bad stuff happen to you if you come in contact with that water. And which is also why, based on this, Zohar HaKadosh Bible we just read, we also learn that a person shouldn't wash his kitchen sink. If he has, like, I don't know if your parents are macbeth about, like, not leaving dishes or stuff in the sink overnight, but let's say, like, they are, and then sometimes you have stuff, like, or some guy's toothbrush in a sink. So you don't wash on top of things that you would have used. Just wash, let the water, like, get out, disappear, and that's it. But you don't wash on other stuff that you shouldn't have, whatever. You shouldn't have any of the other bad guys on your cups and your dishes, forks, knives, and whatever it is. You don't give your, like, animals other things, unless you, like, want to kill them. You don't give them the water to, you know, that water to drink also. That's water you just get rid of, and there. I'm going to leave out, we could read the rest. It's just that's the basic idea of the Netil Sidaim, and the system that a person uses to be able to, this, again, there's Kabbalistic reason why this is true, but that's the idea of the passing back and forth, and later on the Zohar Kadosh explains the washing from one hand over to the next. In Yiddish, the expression Nagelwasser means your nail water. Nails meaning like your fingernails, like the adayim that has the Ruach HaTumma on it. So you wash to get the Ruach HaTumma off of your, off of your nails. It's a famous story Sarah Schneer, Zechatzadeh Rachet, they told over that when she was first teaching one of the first groups of girls, just to explain how, like, you know, out of it people were, you know, at that time when she first started doing her thing. So they're learning about the Nagelwasser. And again, it might sound strange for you because you don't speak the language, but they're learning about, like, you know, I have to wash Nagelwasser. And so a girl came in the morning with a cup filled with water and nails, like hammers and, like, nails in the thing, like that. And, like, she's like exactly like that. And I meant like these, not those, and whatever. So, but it's brought from the Grot. The Grot told over. It was a very, very famous story. There was somebody called the Ger Tzedek at the time of the Grot. Avram ben Avram was a famous Ger Tzedek. He was the son of a Lithuanian count, of a person who was of noble descent. And Vladimir Poltolsky was a person who was well known. He has a very nice estate. That was an estate once outside of a place called Lansut. And his son was Megaya at the time of the Grot. And it caused a very, very big stir because we weren't supposed to do that. Like, if you are one of the, you know, the goyim, you don't convert to Christianity. And he was given an ultimatum both by the church and the reigning government that you have a choice. You can renounce your geiros, or we're going to kill you. We're going to burn you at the stake. And he had a very big act of kiddushim shemayim. He said, like, you can take my life, but I'm not. This is the way things are, and I'm not changing anything back. And the story, I'm saying it in 3 seconds. The story took place over a longer period of time, and he was put into a jail in Vilna, which was the capital of Lithuania, and he was led in the street. He was led in the street from wherever the jail was to a church, to a base tiflis, there in Vilna. If you are in Nesivas, whatever it is, you go see they should show you the place where the, I think they get to do everything every year, but whatever. If you're you know, push enough, you'll get to see the place where the Ger Tzedek was burned. There was a famous song that he authored. He wrote a song with his own words, "Abalanachta Amcha b'nei Brisecha b'nei Avram Rechumecha," where the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and wrote a song about the Schus Avos that he sung on his way to being burned, and he was burned alive. He was burned alive there in Vilna. The Gra said that he went on his way to. So he went on the way to try to watch, and he said he realized he didn't think his eyes would be able to withstand the aura of kedusha that the Ger Tzedek gave off at that time. So the Grod didn't actually, you know, go to give him chizik. He said he didn't think he was able to see such a kadosh sight. But the Grod did say that after the burning of the Ger Tzedek, an unbelievable thing, he said that took away a certain percentage of the ruach mesava that the Zohar Kadosh speaks about, the kiddushim shemayim that the Ger Tzedek had. Was removed a lot of that tumma. So the Gra felt that you don't have to go as nutty about Nagelwasser. Again, you have to do all the things. We don't know exactly what it means. Or this much and that much and whatever it is. But that's a famous thing from the Gra, that some of that ruach tumma was taken out of the world in the schus of the famous Ger Tzedek who was killed al kiddush Hashem. But be that as it may, that's the some of the background of the Netil HaSidayim that we're making in the morning, and of course, again, our focus now is just getting a feel for the Seder HaBrachos that we're making and to understand that chashivas. There's perhaps a word or two about the Yadayim, and then we'll maybe move into the Chavos HaTalmidim over here. It's obvious that the first official formal act that we're doing during the tefillah is this bracha about netilas yadayim. Again, we explain why we wash, and then you make the bracha on netilas yadayim. So we should be aware that the yadayim, in general, our hands, play a certain major significant role in a person's avodas Hashem in terms of the machshava behind what the yadayim represent. We know if a person learns from different sifrei machshava, certainly in the different sifrei Kabbalah, the image, the tzura sa'adam, the form of a person, corresponds to many, many different deep things that exist in the Bria Sa'olam. Certainly as the person being in Tzelem Elokim, there are many, many different ramazim that exist in a person's body. And again, those are things that a person will learn after they finish Bava Kamma a couple of times. You'll get around to some of the other things that are there. But the Yadayim play a very, very interesting role. When a person looks at his body, okay, just to explain a couple little ABCs that are there, the Yadayim are one of the most interesting and anomalous parts of the human physique. Anomalous means?
Weird,
okay. Different, exceptional. Right? And weird, I mean, they're strange, but it means like they're different, right? A little bit different. Now, why are the Yadayim different than all the other parts of the body? If you stop and think about these things, you notice a lot of stuff. Most of the parts of the person's body are relatively stationary. Stationary, what do you mean by stationary? Is they have a certain place on the body, and that's where they remain. So, for example, if a person wants to, I don't like, we can all start doing little weird things over here. A person wants to try to like wiggle his ear. So you might be able to, well, you know, anyone can do that. You can like wiggle your ears a little bit, like that. But the bottom, what was that?
A lot of it.
A lot of it? Or him? Or yeah. Whatever, okay. That's pretty cool, okay. And so you can wiggle your ears a little bit, but at the end of the day, even a Wasaski wiggle is not going to get you to, your ears are not going to be like on top of your head, they're not going to be like beneath your knees, like, but you can like do a little stuff with your, you know, with your ears, right? Like, yeah, you can't like fly or something like that, right? You got like a little stuff, right? You got to work in that, right? Even though tricks with their neck, can we have any nostril wigglers? Can any of you do that stuff? Yeah. One of these like that, right? You can move your nostrils around like that. So, okay, so whatever. You know, people can do all different stuff. If you try to reposition your head and your neck, right, that you would like, you know, at this stage in the game, that you may hit you like that. So that. Now again, you can move your head within a certain, like, but you can't, your head, like, ultimately is in like the same space and position on the goof, right? That's the way things work. Now, your legs are the same way for most normal people, like that. Your yadayim, no matter who you are, your yadayim have an ability to be in multiple places in terms of what we'll call the dargos of the person's goof. The yadayim can be on the lower half of the person's body. A person can lift his yadayim over his head. The head, of course, is the makor of all of our seichel and intellect that's there. And somehow or another, right, even though we know that when we look at the person, it's not accidental that our head, our rosh, is the top part of our body, because that's the most significant part of the person. It's also not accidental that the akev, right, the akevayim, the heels, are looked at as like the lowest, you know, part of the person. Akev, tishma, even the little things that you step on with your heels that are furthest away from the person's rosh, but even higher than the person's rosh, even higher than his seichel and all of his intellect and all that, can become the yadayim. And that's an interesting thing. Your hands don't really think, your hands don't really do all that. Your hands do a lot. We're going to explain it in just 1 second. But one certainly might have guessed that if we look at the body as a progression of coming from the most important, the head, the start, the control center of everything, down to the little parts that don't really make that much of a difference. Again, a kivayim, you can almost sometimes, you know, step on things, you don't even feel it. It's, you know, they're very, very not sensitive and all of that in any way, shape, or form. But yet your yadayim have the ability to be elevated and lifted even over a person's head, even over a person's seichel. Of course, the yadayim represent for us, you know, in halacha, we always speak about a person's maisa yadayim, a person's handiwork. word hand is thrown, a handy work, right? A handy man, a man who does stuff with his hands. I'm not, they're just sitting across here. I'm not like implying anything. Okay. Now, the Yadayim represent the asek, right? The involvement that a person has in this world. You do your stuff, right? Any job, it doesn't matter if your job is an accountant or an actuary. You're not like, you're working more with your head, and certainly not with your hands, but yet, like the income that you have is always going to be called your Maisa Yadayim, the stuff that you do with your hands. And the reason why that's true, of course, is because the Yadayim represent our interaction, the interaction of the person, of my guf, of me, with everything else that's there. There are details in different halachic issues, which we're not going to talk about right now, that actually indicate that the Yadayim are actually looked at as appendages to the person himself. There's the me, and then I got a Yadayim stuck on over here and over here, but the me is the this part, the torso, the head, the legs, and the Yadayim are stuck on. Again, there's certain sugyas that imply the Chazal viewed the Yadayim as such. But the way I interact with the world around me is through my Yadayim. That's true in terms of what I produce and what I make, etc. Part of our mission, part of our task in Olam Hazeh is to be Mekadesh, all the things that we come in contact with, a person to elevate, to sanctify, to change and affect all the different physical things that go on in the world. Be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. It's a very, very important remez that's there with our Yadayim. On the one hand, the Yadayim have the ability to be in the lower regions of a person's body. The Yadayim, naturally, if you let them sit around and float by themselves, are in the area of the person's erva, in the areas of we'll call them tumma and taivos, and other things that are there, because a person's involvement with Olam Hazeh, with his physical creature, his physical self, could be at some level very, very base and quote unquote lowly kinds of things. And on the other hand, the person has the ability to be meirim yadayim, to pick his hands up even above his seichel, because ultimately, when a person actually really is able to use the world to affect everything, his interaction with the world, his ma'isa yadayim are being done the shem shamayim, the kedusha and the tara that's affected by that. Right, when the world is viewed as Shem Shemayim, takes things that are lowly and mundane and elevates them to heights that are way higher than things that started off by as a spiritual thing. Right, we know that the Chazal tell us a person is greater than a malach. A malach is stagnant. The malach stays the same all the time. So it's nice. The malach does his thing, and he was created as like a nice guy, ends a nice guy, and that's it. The person, on the other hand, who's on the one hand can be like a really bad guy that's there. Right, and it's certainly, what it called, left alone, might not really be, all that great and do amazing things. But the person, when he lives a life of Kedusha, when the person actually really works on his Avodas Hashem, that person, the tzaddik, is much, much greater even than a malach, because that person took a thing that really inherently was distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam, a physical, taivadik kind of a creature, and elevated and changed that and made that into something so high and so special. And that's a much, much greater thing than to start off being okay and being great, which is an important thing for a person to remember. The ability to take our Olam Hazeh, right, they can start off, quote unquote, down here and raise it up to even higher than the intellectual, spiritual things that a person has. So part of the message of the focus, we'll call it, on the Netilas Yadayim that we have in the morning, right, is to remind ourselves that our tachlis and our purpose today is that every interaction we have with our Olam Hazeh, every interaction we have with the things that we're doing in this world, should be with the focus and kavana of elevating and changing and being mekadesh and metahir all the things that are existing. So that's like a mission statement that's being made towards the beginning of the day. And we know, of course, that's with all different ramazim that the Yadayim have, aside from the role that we just described, all different little things that are there. We know, for example, right, that there are the number 10 represents a certain shleimus in Ruchnis. 10 people bring the Shechina Kedosha into the world. Like 10 people together cause a minion, and when there's a minion of Jews together, the Shechina Kedosha shore in that area. If a person, again, you probably, whether you understand what these words mean, but you probably all heard the term, there are 10 spheros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world through Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, etc., 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 until the end. And there are 10 Dibros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over in Parashas Yisrael, the 10 Kemet. You probably heard of those before. You asked the Asara Ma'amaros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used when he created the world. So all those things are Merumazim in the person's Yadayim. The 10 digits, the 10 little fingers that we have on our hands are all Merumas to all of those kinds of spiritual things that exist here in the world, with the person being able to say, I can take these 10 little things and, like we said, and touch and elevate and sanctify any little thing that I come in contact with through all of that Koach HaTorah that's, you know, that's there. So then Tilas Yadayim is something that we want to be able to, you know, to think through and focus on. Now, I'm going to say once, I'm going to say it 400 times over the course of now and forever, Mistama Be'ezer Hashem, that a person always has to remember, okay, that life can be lived as an amoeba and a thoughtless jellyfish, and life can be lived like a human being. A person can go through his life and just wake up in the morning and by the koach of habit and routine, just, or he's too rushed to be able to think for half a second, just like throw some water on his hands and go running out to whatever, you know, to wherever he's going. A person can just take like a moment and start like we're doing now, familiarizing ourselves with different ideas and things. And when they wash in the TLC Daim in the morning, or hopefully now when you make a bracha, and or with all the other tefillahs that we're going to be learning about, if you take the time to like think through and remember, like, what am I doing? Like, what's going on right now? What does this represent? Why is this happening to me? What am I supposed to be walking away with? How do I interact? How do I experience? All those kind of questions, right? So then you can actually take something and like make it into a meaningful part of your day. And that would actually be a nice thing to do, right? Like, why not? It's like free, nice stuff, free good things, free meaning, free, yeah, got the idea? It's free, right? So like why not? It's not really totally free, because it takes it an investment of thought. You have to stop and like just like know what it is that you're doing. But we all understand the things that we're quote unquote going to do anyway are much more meaningful, like when we connect to it and we have like an understanding a little bit more of stuff that we're doing. So we have a couple of thoughts about the Netilas Yadayim, about the significance of the bracha, what we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the above that we just mentioned. So that's where we're going to pause for over here. Let's start with a little bit of Chavos HaTamidim, and next week we'll do with Ashayotzer, and then Elokai Neshama, and we'll keep on moving.